If you don't like the sound of my voice, this is a bad night for you. Let's start with Luke chapter 5 and verse 8. Just a simple, simple sentence. We read this last week, I believe. And this is the story of when they let down their nets and they caught so much, and that was Jesus' entry into the boat of Peter's. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." All right, and that's where our basis. Now we're going to turn over to Matthew chapter 5, and that's where we're going to spend the rest of the evening. If I was to say Matthew chapter 5, what would you say? Sermon on the Mount, right? You guys do learn something at Family Bible Time. Family Bible Time actually says 5 through 7, just for... But if I said 5, what else comes to mind? Learned it as a little tot, didn't you? The Beatitudes, right? Usually had a picture of a bee in every classroom we had, right? And I thought Beatitudes was because every verse started with the letter B. So it was a B, and it was an attitude you should have, so it was the B attitudes. And so last week I learned that that's not the case. Beatitude comes from a Greek, I believe it's the Greek word, there's a couple of them, beatidus, and that type of things, which means blessed. Or, is there another, what's a synonym, since we're on this kick? Is there another synonym that you guys have heard maybe that this might also refer to? Happy. Happy. So here we are in these in the Beatitudes, which the word Beatitudes and Beatitudes does not appear in this in our context anywhere. It's just simply what they've somebody coined it as, and it stuck. Let's read through those, and then we'll come back to them. Let's see here. Starting in verse 2, "And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Sometimes some add the next one, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." If you look at these Beatitudes, I don't think they're random. I think there's a pattern here. And I want to see that. And I think we can use Peter's statement, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man," and we can see the Beatitudes in that statement as well. First off, let's go to the first one. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." All right. I'll just ask Dennis this because I'm going to guess I know the answer. Dennis, Were you ever poor? He never was anything else, right? Well, at what point did you realize that you were poor? So when you saw the rest of the, when you were at home, didn't know you were poor, right? Has anybody ever heard that statement? We didn't know we were poor. Well, how do you know when you're poor? When you start comparing, right? If you don't have any shoes, which I'm guessing there was a time or two, you might not have had a He had one shoe. Oh, well, one pair of shoes. And you went barefoot and stuff on Sundays. But then when you see your neighbor who has two pair of shoes, what are they? They're rich. So we don't realize that we're poor until we see what rich is, or we see something there. Now, when you discover you are poor, you have two choices to make. What do you think those choices are? Pretty simple, too. Stay poor or get rich. Now, getting rich, I'm not saying, the ethics class is a whole different thing. So some people get rich by stealing. Some people get rich by doing other unethical things. But they realize that they're poor in some regard, and they are going to try and get rich. Or you can say, it's too hard to do that, so I'll be content with what I've got. Or I'll just stay poor and be in misery. So you can stay poor or you can get rich. Now, look at verse 3 again. I hope they're not telling me that I'm off track already. Is that Bill? No. All right. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who has riches? Who do we know who has riches? God has riches on earth. Solomon, and what was he? A king. Right? Kings have riches, right? What do the kings have? What do we call it? A kingdom, right? So rich people, kings, have kingdoms. Poor people make up the kingdoms, right? So look at this, I guess you call it a juxtaposition. The poor in spirit get the kingdom of heaven. Now, if I realize, when am I going to realize that I am poor in spirit? Okay. After you've heard the word. All right. I can't realize that I am poor in spirit until I know what rich is. And what rich is the kingdom. I want to be in the kingdom of heaven. Well, the realization is I can't be in the kingdom of heaven. Why not? Why can't I be in the kingdom? Because of sin. I have separated myself from God. I have created a gap that I cannot bridge, right? So I am no longer eligible to be in the kingdom once I realize and have committed and realized that I am in sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when you fall short, you can't make it up. So when I realize, blessed are the poor in spirit, I am realizing that I need something. Jesus says, once you realize that, you start getting on the right track. Because if you realize that you are poor in spirit and you have nothing, no access to the kingdom, you're either going to get rich or you're going to stay poor. And if you are, blessed are the poor, a lot of the people that you see that are poor figure out a way to get rich. All right? Now, I think that leads us to the next beatitude. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I don't believe this is about grief. All right, that's a different thing. If you follow the thought process here, once you realize that you're poor in spirit, what do you do? What's your first statement? Go back to what Peter said. Depart. I'm a sinful man. You see that Peter is mourning. You mourn the fact that you have no access to that kingdom. You realize, you realize that your mourning causes an action. Your mourning causes an action. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. What's the comfort? Heaven. What's the comfort in realizing that heaven's over there and I'm over here? Salvation. The gap. The bridge. You're going to be comforted because Jesus is going to give His life so that we can have access to that kingdom. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Okay, I realize that I'm poor in spirit because I have no access to the kingdom. But blessed are those who mourn, who want to realize that and have access to it. Yes, ma'am. 2 Corinthians 7:10, which says, godly grief produces salvation, right? It creates action. You're sorrowful that you realize that you need something to get to the kingdom of heaven. So blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You will have an answer to your mourning. That's what he's saying. You will have an answer. I will give you the answer to your mourning. Okay, and this is one I enjoy teaching our sixth grade students. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Becky's grandsons are the ones I like teaching this to because we all know what meek is, right? Keep on synonyms. We're keeping going. You guys are going to learn what synonyms and antonyms and all kinds of English phrases here. What's another what's a synonym for meek? Is it weak? Humble. There's a good one. Surrendering, submissive. All right, this is what I liked when Landon was in there last year. You all have seen wild horses, right? Montana or wherever they're roaming, wild Mustangs. You see it on. I've just seen them on TV. But I've seen it. What I know is that horse is going to weigh about, say, 1,200 to 1,500 pounds. And that thing is strong. And they'll run, and if I tried to grab one and try to get on it, it probably wouldn't end up in a good favorable position for me. Because that horse is 1,200 horsepower, I guess. I don't know. Now, it's 1 horsepower, that's right, I guess. Now, what I see is those ranchers will herd those horses into a corral, and they will cut some of those horses, and they cut that 1,200-pound horse, and they start training it, and put a bridle on it, and put a saddle on it, and eventually they can ride that horse, right? Is that horse any weaker than what it was before they trained it? And here I am, a lot less than 1,200 pounds, able to control that horse. Why? It's been gentled. It submits to a master. It's a meek horse, right? That is meekness. We have the We have free will. We can make our choices to do whatever we want. Paul says, I can do anything, but anything is not always beneficial to me. I'm paraphrasing that. That's my own translation. We have free will, right? When we become a Christian, are we any less free will-ish? I'm not a great English major. Are we any less? Do we have any less free will than we did before we became a Christian? No. So what's the difference? We submit. We submit like that 1,200-pound horse. We submit to a master, and we are a servant now. So we've recognized that we're poor in spirit, and we have no access to the kingdom. That makes us mourn for a solution. He gives it to us through our Christ. We see our Christ. We submit to that Christ. And he says we inherit the earth. When we hear the word submit, if I submit to an employer or a government or fill in the blank, does that sound like we're going to inherit something? Not here on earth, does it? So I believe what he's saying here is, blessed are those who submit. You will get the comforts that you need here on earth. You'll inherit what you need. We're all here, right? We all see the sunshine the next day. We have so far anyway. We might not tomorrow, but we've seen it so far and we've made it through. Even poor boys from Arkansas, right? Have lived a long, healthy life and with the comforts that were provided. Meek will inherit the earth. Okay, so that gives me some comfort, which leads to the next piece. So now what do I do? How do I submit? What do I look for? Once I have submitted, what do I do? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. And this is a tough one. What is righteousness? Don't overthink it, Travis. Rightness. Being right. Right? How do I know what's right? I got to learn, right? I got to learn what is right and how to be right. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. How many of us have been hungry? Not many tonight. I've had a good meal. This is that hunger and the thirst. If you've been parched, if you just crave it, follow the pattern here. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You got two choices: get rich or stay poor. And if you are hungry, if you're that poor that you are hungry in real life, you're going to find a way to find food. And you're going to find a way to find water. You are going to find that way. That is what he's talking about. When you realize that heaven is in that gap, and you mourn, and you realize that there is a Savior, and you submit to that Savior, then you want to be like that Savior. And that's the rightness that we're talking about here. And you will be satisfied. Is it easy always to be in the right, in godly righteousness? Those are some hard choices, right? Some of them are. Again, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about tonight. I don't know, that speaker that was doing the devotional, he's really good, but I can't remember all that he said. But he said to inconvenience myself to learn, to study here. I don't think a lot of people understand that today. This is not, you know, it takes time to study. How many of you guys have ever started to read the Bible through in a year? 43 times. I've accomplished it twice. Gotten sidetracked. I've gotten off, and not that I haven't studied, but I haven't met my goal of reading it all through the year. It takes dedication and devotion and effort and sacrifice. Because why? I'll wait till they make a movie out of it. It's a lot easier to watch an hour and a half something or other than to sit down and read and meditate on what righteousness is. That takes effort. And sometimes I don't like what it says to me. Because it's sometimes they're hard words. So, these first four, I've heard it said, are the action beatitudes. The second four are the characteristic attitudes. Or second three are the characteristic attitudes. So once you realize these first four about the gap that I've created on my own to heaven, the mourning and the comfort of the Savior, submitting to that Savior, hungering and thirst for what He is telling me to be satisfied, then I have a treasure, right? I have something, and I'm satisfied. That's what He says. I'll be satisfied. So now what do I do with that? We'll go down to verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Why is that important? We all need it. Why? Can't save ourselves, right? We realize that we're poor in spirit. Think about it. What was different between the time I became a Christian and the time before I was a Christian? What's the difference? Christ. Hair color didn't change. I don't know if it caused it to fall out or anything, but it didn't change. I didn't change myself. I still had the free will. I still have all these other characteristics. If you put all of us, lined us up against other people in the world, are they going to be able to pick out the Christians just by looking at them? No. The merciful, blessed are the merciful. That's a characteristic I need because God gave me mercy by providing my Savior. And I need to share that because I realized that I was poor. And if I don't realize that, if instead of taking it as merciful, I become like the Pharisee when he was praying with the tax collector, and he says, "Oh Lord, thank you for not making me like this man." Is there any mercy there? You know, if we take it as, I'm going to protect my Christianity, and I won't share it with anybody so that they can't receive merciful or can't receive mercy, then what good is it really doing me? The merciful, blessed are the merciful. So take all that stuff that we just learned and apply it to being merciful to others. Because I'm going to receive mercy and I want to share that with others, so I'm going to be merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Okay. Again, how am I interacting with others? Is my heart pure? Why do I want to share this treasure with others? Is it to show everybody else how good I am? No, it's to show them I'm in the same boat. We're all in the same boat together. You have to be recognized that you're poor in spirit too. It's not out of the more people I can convince that they're poor in spirit, the higher in spirit I get. How what's our motive? What's our hearts say? For they shall see God. So that's our goal anyhow. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Is everybody going to like our message? 3,000. What? Why would I say 3,000? What is that, a significant number? Three. That's exactly right. Acts 2 and verse 39, I believe, right? About 3,000 were saved that day. Sounds like a big number to us, right? That's 10 times as many goes to here. On the day, what day was it? What were they celebrating? Pentecost, right? 50 days after Passover. And a lot of times, if you went to Passover, it was a big deal, and you went ahead and stayed until Pentecost. Passover is a really big deal. So you would have thousands and tens of thousands, up to hundreds of thousands of Jews that would descend on Jerusalem at the time of Passover to celebrate that Passover. So there was a multitude of people. So when they said 3,000 were saved, that may still be a small percentage of how many heard the word that day. And as we read, they weren't always peaceful about it either. Paul was beaten. I don't know, it wasn't just Paul, but the disciples were beaten, they were persecuted, killed. Blessed are the peacemakers. Realize that all we are here to do is what? Plant the seed. It's not our job. We can't save anybody. We can't save ourselves, right? It's funny, when they told Jesus on the cross, save yourself, he could. I can't. So all my job is to plant the seeds, and there will be those who do not like the message that we give them, don't like the seed that we plant. So blessed are the peacemakers. And then finally, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I like to stop, I like the Beatitudes to stop here. Why would I want it to stop here, in my opinion? Anybody have an idea? If you're in the kingdom of heaven, where did we start? Right. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? Kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I think that this is, if we look at these Beatitudes, and we take the poor in spirit, when we first recognize that we are outside of the kingdom of heaven, and it creates a mourning in us to realize that there is a comforter, and somebody that we can submit to, somebody that we want to be like, and then share that message with others, and to live a life that's pure in heart and peaceful, and yet we're persecuted, and then where do we find ourselves back at the end? Still in the kingdom of heaven. That was the goal in the first place. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are you when you recognize that you have no hope without Jesus. But then here's what's going to happen. Get ready. And the blessed are the persecuted. Now, if you look at some of these other things on the Sermon on the Mount, and Adam has already talked about several of these, I think if you look at that in context with the Beatitudes, you'll see some of these. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus is telling us what this righteousness looks like in some of the rest of these stories. Let's go one more time. Look at what Peter said. Luke chapter 9. Nope. Luke chapter 5. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. That's where we started from, and that's where I think that we can also, all of us start from, is I'm a sinful man. Now what? Without faith, it's impossible. Well, I made up for my first lesson that went over time, and now I'm giving you back that extra time. So, any comments or questions? Yes, Mr. Al. It's funny, you use the word strong, right? It's a strong Christian. A strong Christian realizes how weak they are. In that. Interesting. In my thought, I like the way you use that, the word, because you're absolutely right. A strong Christian realizes how poor they are.
When you look at the Beatitudes overall, there's unlimited avenues that you see from it. And you touched on it in a way that I'll kind of amplify what you've already said. We could go back to the Cain and Abel. By my brother's keeper. We could go back to the Good Samaritan. I believe we started with that last week. And so many other things that just match up perfectly when we look at the Beatitudes and their total.
Yeah.
It's a good place to replace or to review the inventory of your son and your thoughts about it.
And remember, what was that synonym for the blessed or beatitudes? Happy. And that's what our goal is the whole time, is that happiness, that joy, that pure joy. Yeah. So, yeah, so many of the stories that we read, if you can tie them right here. Yeah. Anything else? Yes, sir. As good as it gets. The great comforter, right? In our lexicon, the challenge is to understand the difference between emotions, the emotion of happiness and happiness, or the emotion of joy and joyfulness. There is a solution for each problem. Right? You got a problem? God has a solution. That. Yeah. The challenge with these rewards is that they're not microwave rewards. These are long term. You shall see God. When? You know? Not tomorrow. Well, maybe. But most likely, you know, not yet. When am I going to when's the other stuff? When's the comfort? Some of them are pretty immediate. When you recognize the comfort and you can respond to the gospel and be baptized, that's pretty comfortable. The great comforter. But some of them aren't immediate. And like you said, the persecuted, it sure doesn't feel like joy at the time. You know, and we're pretty comfortable too in our society, as well. I always have a difficulty, when that group went to Africa, and I heard the stories, and you see them on TV, and that, you know, how poor the other countries are. I kind of liken it. I've been told a few times that I go to work. Boy, you don't look so well. Actually, I'll tell you the last time I felt this was at the State of the Union. If you guys ever listen to the State of the Union. I didn't feel so bad until after I heard how poor I was. Man, I didn't realize how bad a condition I was in until, you know, he started naming off different things, and I thought, man, that's every one of them. I must be in the worst category there is. I need help. Yes. Yeah. But so the joy doesn't lie within, you know, other people telling us, and the comfort doesn't rely on that either. But anyhow. Anything else? And that's the hunger and the thirst that he's talking about. So when you seek the kingdom, and you're going to hunger for it, you're going to thirst for it. Let's end, and we'll have a word of prayer. Yes, ma'am. Tenth and the 24th, one on each eye.
The left eye first and the right eye second, 2 weeks apart.
Good deal. And keep Gabe in your prayers as well. That's pretty scary. Pretty scary. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the word that you give us. We thank you for the opportunity for us to develop a hunger and a thirst for your will and your way. Help us to always continue to search your scriptures for the joy that we can get only from you. We ask that you be with those in our number that are sick and are ill or in a condition that they need your prayers and our comfort as well. And just give the doctors the skills that they need to be with Miss Sandy as she goes through her eye surgeries, to be with Gabe as he heals from his neck injury, to be with so many others of our congregation that are in need. Help us to be an encouragers for them, to check in on them, to love them. We ask that you give us the strength that we need to finish out this week, to provide us the opportunities to be your salt and your light. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.